UK. 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 UK.
Duration US Go. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman on 540 AM WAUK across the great state of Wisconsin on your civic media stations. And we, Danielle, that was pretty awesome. We got to be on the Maggie Dawn show for toward the end there and start talking about some of the outdoor stuff. And Maggie Dawn has been kind enough and gracious enough to join us for the first segment of this show.
Very exciting.
Are you there, Maggie?
She's not on yet. I'm going to get her in just
a
second.
We'll have her in just a minute. I have to tell you, this, what a crazy week it's been. Did you get out in the woods for the gun deer season?
I did get out in the woods, but. Yeah, I did. Oh, hello. There I am. I was could not hear
talking.
Myself.
They could hear you. You just couldn't hear yourself.
I was like, headphones. What is happening? I did get out. And then you know what I saw?
What?
Nada. Just kidding. Not nada. I saw too many doe with their fawn, and I don't have the heart to do that when they're still with their fawn. And a bunch of bucks way off in the distance, but nothing came out by me. So I got kind of upset with myself, so I went out duck hunting. And I checked off another duck on my bucket list.
What'd you
get? 41. Old squaw.
You shot an old squaw?
Yes.
Did you go out on the bay? Were you out on Green Bay? In layout boats?
Yep, we were in the layout boats. We were in a double one. And the first day, well, not 2 days. So the first day we went out, it was terrifying. You would have absolutely hated this.
Did you go with Mike Keller?
I did go. I will only go with Mike Keller.
Okay,
yes.
So you went out with Mike Keller. Mike's asked me to go so many times,
yes.
And I always say I'm not going to go because I'm scared to death. And then you go out there with Mike Keller and tell me it scared the crap out of you.
But
can I say Anya? Can I say crap? Okay, just checking.
Okay, but we went out because I really wanted to go out for old squaw. It was on my 41 duck list.
Yeah, for sure. They're beautiful.
And when we get out there, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, correct?
Sure.
And the wind is going about 15 to 20, and you're looking out on the water, it's just nothing but waves upon waves upon waves. So as Keller describes it, it's 5 foot waves with 2 foot separation, or it's 5 foot swells with 2 foot separation.
Okay.
So the
Sounds
waves,
horrifying.
The waves are going up. And then you see nothing but sky, and then you go back down, and it's only like 2 foot separation. So once you're down, you're going right back up. Ooh. And in this layup boat, for people that do not know, this layup boat, you're a foot above water. Like your bottom half of your body is inside this layup boat, which is
under
the surface.
Okay.
So, and then you are still up there, and you have a little bit of water splashing, and there's still a splash guard. But it was absolutely freezing by the end of this hunt. So we get out there. I sit in the boat at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I do not get out until about 11 noon o'clock. And my hat is completely frozen solid. The back of me is completely frozen solid. Everything is just straight ice. I kept shooting waves because I go up, and these old squaw, they're faster than teal. And but they're bigger. They're bigger than a mallard, but they're faster than a teal. So they just zoom, 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 zoom. And I shot two boxes of shells. There's 25 shells.
I think I would do the
And I shot five, really, and I didn't recover two of them. Because once these birds are one of the hardest birds to actually, for the animal to penetrate the skin. So you shoot them once, and once they start going down, you shoot them again, then you shoot them again, then you shoot them again.
Well, and you're moving while they're flying.
Yes.
So you have to time everything exactly
perfectly. Yeah, and you're going up and down these, oh my gosh, I missed so many.
And
so many.
Well, we got Maggie Dawn on with us right now.
Maggie should come with us.
Maggie, you can take her on that hunt. I don't have enough guts to go on that.
The next day
hunt.
Was
that
calm, scares, and it was like your Sunday.
Scares the heck out of me. And Maggie, welcome to the show. I have to tell you, this is so cool because Anastasia Esther, Anya, she produces both the Maggie Dawn Show and she produces Raised in Wisco. So she gets the full range of gamut of world affairs, outdoors, hunting, cooking. And Anya comes in one of the breaks in Maggie's show and like unloads on us this massive news.
Such because great news.
Danielle and I are always kind of trying to nudge her into the outdoor activities. And she basically says, I have 10 pounds of venison in my freezer, and then walks out. So,
oh, I love it.
Yeah. So, Maggie, one of the things we talk about on this show, and one of the things that I absolutely love about the outdoors of Wisconsin, you know, I listen to your show and you cover so many fantastic current events. And, you know, our philosophies, yours, mine, Danielle's, our philosophies may not always match up. There's no secret about that, right? But the beauty of it is that I think the outdoors is where every philosophy, right, left, center right, center left, and everywhere in between has this opportunity to coalesce. And I think we're really finally seeing that. And that's one of the exciting things for me. Most of my closer friends are probably skew more left of the spectrum than I do, personally. But I have, when I was even in the legislature, I had very close Democrat friends. So I don't ever try to imagine, you know, where that person's background is as to why they believe what they do. But finding commonalities is so fantastic. And that's one of the things that I think is great about the show Raised in Wisco. And when we get to have you on, thank you, first of all, for having us on your show. And thanks for being on our show.
Yes, thank you.
And don't you think that that's an area we can all get along?
Well, I think that's one of the things that kept Wisconsin so, like, strictly purple, right? And maybe still does to a certain extent. It was like, oh, yeah, we'll argue about this stuff. But, like, hey, everybody loves to be outside. It's part of what makes us Wisconsinites. Like, we love finding that hidden gem supper club when we're up camping.
Yeah.
Like, to me, there's nothing better than the first meal that someone else hustles for me after I've been like backpacking or hiking or camping for a long time. It's like, oh, I didn't know other people could make hot food. Thank you.
Yeah.
So nice.
Oh yeah. And
I think, I do think that this is a place of commonality for Wisconsinites for sure.
Oh yeah. When, going out to camp. So camping is, well, more or less deer camps. When you go out to deer camp, only thing you do is just you go out there for hunting in the morning, and you come back for lunch, and then you go back out for dinner. But by that time, it is dark early. So you get there, and there's a hot meal ready for you. Everybody is just talking about what happened in the woods, what they saw, what they did. Like, to me, when you guys keep talking about crossing left and right, it goes right over my head, because I don't think I've ever talked about any of that out in the field. Which is kind of great. So that's exactly what you mean. Like, we're all the same. Never, for me, that's what it is. Everybody's the same because I love being outdoors.
Well,
I love the Merlin Bird app and talking about birds with other people. Like, that's the greatest thing ever.
I'm gonna check out the Merlin Bird app. I've got a whole bunch of birder friends, and like, it's so cool to me. Like, urban birds different than like what you see in marshfield areas is different than what you see in different wooded areas, boundary water stuff, Apostle Islands. Like, it's all a little bit different, and we have such a diverse amount of fauna in Wisconsin that you can, and it's so drivable and accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You can go check it out, but I'm going to tell everybody I know about Shazam for Birds.
Shazam for Birds. For everyone that does not know, on the show previous, Maggie, Joel, and I are talking about the Merlin Bird app, because for some reason I'm getting into bird watching, and I do not know when this happened. I bought my first bird book, but Merlin, Merlin, you just hit Sound ID once you download the app, and then it saves all the recording, and it gives you all the information about birds. And I don't know how I turned this into a bird watching segment. I am so sorry, but
that's
I'm very
great.
Excited.
It's Raised in Wisco. It's perfect.
Like, it even records the ducks. So I'd be like, oh, okay, so I heard this new duck. Oh, like when we go out to Winnebago or wherever, because they have the divers right now. When you go out to Winnebago, you can hear a duck quack. I'm like, oh, well, what was that one? And then it just tells you exactly what bird it was and how, not necessarily how to shoot it, but like where it's originating
that
from.
A controversial app, I think.
That
I
would be a
like.
Very controversial
yeah,
app.
Yeah, especially yes, if you were harvesting the wrong species. But I think that that is something in common that all Wisconsinites share. And I love the fact we talked about hunting too. And Maggie, I'm curious, what are your culinary favorites? If we had to talk about food, because I tell people after all, this is a cooking show.
Are you talking game or like anything?
Anything, but including game. Are you a wild game eater? Is that part of your repertoire?
Oh, yeah.
Or what are some of the food, the culinary aspects of this state that you like the best?
So I love duck and pheasant. Now, ooh, pheasant, I've eaten from Wisconsin. I don't know that I've eaten a duck from the state of Wisconsin. I've sat in a duck blind for long enough to have, like, wrinkly fingers and very, 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 very cold. And I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Layers, girl, layers.
But now you don't have to be cold. You can have that little Mr. Buddy heater in front of you in the
duck
blind.
You sure can.
So.
I had it in the boat.
I don't know if you guys saw me. I was legit taking notes, like not even going to front, take notes, because anything that makes it more enjoyable, I am a fan of, or easier, I'm a fan of. One of my favorite pieces of just sort of Wisconsin culinary experience is taking out-of-towners who have never been here before, especially like left and right coast people, and introducing them to the supper club.
Oh,
I'm
that's
like,
the greatest.
Yo, it's Tuesday. Do you want prime rib? That will be beautiful here.
That is
on
the greatest.
A Tuesday.
Yes, we had
going up on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I love prime rib. We had we had the Foul Life crew in town for a week, and we went to Bark River Lanes in Rome, Wisconsin. Now, they have a chef there who's just off the chain. He's unbelievable. We had the most unbelievable. We had duck risotto. They had as the special that night, which was phenomenal. And I think supper clubs are absolutely where it is at, I'm telling you. And before we get to our first break, which we're already up against, Maggie, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
Thank you for having us on your show.
Yes.
I really appreciate that. And I hope that this is a start of things to come and we can do this in the future.
Anytime, friends. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we've got Zach Fusilier from Texas. I spent Thanksgiving over the Thanksgiving break in Texas with a guy who hunts the world, and he's fascinating, and his son. And we talked to them for the next couple of segments. You won't want to miss it, because you should get out of your shell and get to these great United States. So listen to that coming up on Raised in Wisco. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman here in the Fishbowl in Waukesha. 540 AM WAUK, 101 FM, the Shaw, and throughout Wisconsin on your Civic Media radio station. We are really excited about the guest we have today. One of the things I talk to you guys about a lot is how traveling the United States just is an unending quest for the outdoors. Hunting, fishing, hiking, kayaking, mountain climbing, whatever your jam is, you can get out there and do it in the great United States. And I have to tell you, if it were not for a buddy of mine, Jerry Valdez. He does government affairs in Texas like I do up here. You know, I work with the disabled folks and wheelchairs and the outdoor groups like Whitetails of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Game Preserve Association, and Safari Club International, and that expands your network. And I'm gonna tell you something, if you're not afraid to expand your network, you can get out there and you can have experiences like no other. Well, my buddy Jerry out in Texas, who does government affairs for the Texas state legislature, and I have been friends now for several years. He's one of the reasons my daughter Ella Rose ended up at Baylor, and now maybe my other daughter Violet will end up at Baylor. But he introduced us to a guy, Zach Fusilier, who is just a world traveler for hunting and has made hunting not only part of his life, but part of his income in ranching and hunting in the area just kind of southwest a bit from Dallas. I'm sitting here with Zach right now in his home in Texas. And Zach, I have to tell you, I have never seen in my life some would call it a man room, you call it the party barn, that has such a representation of your life experiences. How did you ever get into hunting? And what ever made you desire putting together something like this room and having hunting and the experiences and the species in your life be so important to your life?
Let's see. So I would say that I kind of stumbled into hunting, dumb luck, with some entertainment through my business, civil construction, concrete, pipe, you know, exterior projects. And a salesman for a pipe company that we buy pipe from had purchased, you know, one of those auction hunts for a couple exotics at the Wyo Ranch, which is a famous ranch in Texas. I'd never been. He took my wife and myself and his wife, and we went down to the Wyo Ranch. No expectations. I didn't even have a gun. I borrowed their gun.
And, how old were you at this time?
Probably 30.
See, I want to make a point. I did not hunt until I was 38 years old.
Same. I had hunted. My grandmother had a ranch in Abilene, which is West Texas, kind of a couple hours west of Dallas, 3 hours west. And I had done some modest whitetail hunting, you know, just a couple does. So I probably had harvested 4 or 5 animals my whole life. And then I went on this trip, and chef, awesome food, awesome accommodations, stuff. You know, I was the guy who didn't know the names of anything that we were seeing run around. Ended up shooting 2 exotics, and then just became hooked in.
What do you say to somebody? I mean, we hunted yesterday with your son, and we hunted black buck, and your son was literally the guy who spotted the black buck. I mean, they're tiny animals. He spotted it about 400, 500 yards away, tucking out from an alcove of trees. What do you say to somebody who doesn't have that experience? I mean, your son is, Lachlan's growing up in it, in the culture, with the understanding that you take what you kill and you put it on the table, like we did last night. Right. What do you say to somebody who's like us? I didn't first hunt till I was 38 years old, and then it was a steep learning curve, but man, I got into it. And you didn't start till you're 30. You know, you're a younger man than me. You're 40 years old. So you started 43. You started when you were, you know, a little older in life, didn't have someone dragging you through it when you were a kid. What do you say to somebody who's kind of apprehensive about it because they haven't started yet?
I mean, I would encourage them to get out there. I mean, I started with the, which is kind of how I think everyone should start, the corporate gear lease, you know, 6-8 guys on 1,000 acres with homemade deer blinds, janky feeders. You know, you go out there and fill them up. That's half the fun. You go out there and do the food, the campfire. That's half the fun. And, you know, sit there all day in the freezing cold and see nothing for a week. And I believe everybody should start that way. And, then, that's a little tougher road. You got to really love it. But I feel like when you get your first, when you get that first animal or the first big buck walks out, or you check a game cam and then you make a plan and you stick with it, it's all rewarding. That kind of sense of accomplishment's never changed as I hunted harder and bigger stuff. You kind of sit there and freezing cold, bored, or put in the work and scout, and then you get rewarded, or you don't, and that keeps you hungry, and you're always wanting to bigger, better, or another animal. Or I mean, I've been blessed, like you said, the network earlier when you were opening. So one of my best friends, Dr. Eric Weezer, who owns the property you hunted on last night next to my house, lake house, I met him through hunting. He ended up moving a mile away from me, his 3 kids are the same age as my 3 kids. He's a in a completely different industry, but we hit it off hunting-wise. Now he's one of my best friends, and like you saw last night in COVID, we literally just drove around his ranch. You know, we have a couple of ranches between us at our disposal, but we would come up here and just drive around with our kids during COVID every weekend. Everything was on lockdown. So I have a 6-year-old PH now that's can identify game better than most adults. And he's got the bug.
He has also, the bug.
He's also off the couch, out of the city, off the screen. You know, he knows how to drive safely operate, Polaris Ranger, Can-Am.
You just hit on three of the main points that I want to talk about. Number one, it's getting kids out into the outdoors. Life happens in three dimensions. It does not happen in their two-dimensional 3x7 cell phone. And right now we're stuck in this rut across the country. And I think the only good thing to come out of COVID was that people started using the outdoors a little more.
100%.
And to watch, you know, your son Lachlan get out there with us. I mean, he's as excited as we are. He's as excited for somebody else to take a shot. He's just happy to be there. And I think too often people put the pressure on themselves that I don't know about hunting, so I'm not going to be good at it, so I'm not going to try it. But I think one of the things you talked about, one of the other points I was talking about, is that you tell, you know, you make it clear, not every hunt's a success. And sometimes the time you spend out there builds your fortitude to do that next hunt. I'm looking around a room right now, and folks, we're going to put some of these photos on the website so you can check them out on the Civic Media website. You're not even going to believe, you know, some of the different species that Zach has been able to, you know, travel the world and hunt. It's
Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I mean, I've hunted a little longer, but that's about the same amount I've hunted. And people say, how are you so into it at this point? Now, I quit drinking when I started hunting, so I traded drugs, I traded addictions. Mm-hmm. But I think for anybody out there who wants to have an interest, you can start small, can't you? Sure. And build it into something that becomes a real essential part of your life and the way you eat.
Right. I mean, there's so many places to go with what you just said. I mean, you can start the public land, in state drawing tags. That's a tough road, but it can be done. And then you can, a lot of people inherit land. You can meet friends with land. I mean, I think, hunting's been a motivational point for me, business-wise, making money, just because some of these trips are on the pricey end. So I think it teaches you to stay motivated. I think it teaches you hard work pays off. I mean, if your hobby is hunting, some people are golfers, some people are fishermen, some people are hunters, some people are exotic cars, some people are travel. Whatever motivates you, for me, I've been able to stay focused at work, you know, just wanting to pay for my, not addiction, but I would say a healthy addiction. I mean, it's a hobby. You're passionate about it.
It's an addiction for me.
Obviously, being a hunter is, if you are going to be addicted to something, it's certainly better than other things that are out there. But it's for me, it's quality time with my wife and my kids. They like it. It gets them outside. I mean, it's been a positive thing in my life ever since I started. Whether it's one, you know, a client or a vendor that wants to entertain me, or me reciprocating that to clients. I mean, I've rolled it into my business strategy for entertainment. You know, you have to foster your relationships. And for me, I'd rather take a guy on a hunt and get 3 days quality time, one-on-one or a group campfire, over a golf trip, not knocking golf, but...
Oh, I'll knock golf. I can't stand it. I do not understand chasing a little white ball through the woods. That does not make sense.
So for me, I've been able to profit off it, foster my relationships. It's also my hobby. And so that's when I built this Party Barn room. I had that in mind. actually some neighbors up here at the lake had a metal building that was a shop, and they turned it into a bunkhouse, what they call it. And it's, I went over there probably 5 years ago, and it was 20, 30 people hanging out midnight on a Saturday night in the woods up here at the lake, and such a good time. And so they kind of planted the idea. And then when I built this lake house, I was struggling for space for some of my mounts and had some storage units in my garage, and just it was stacking up. And so that's how I kind of birthed the idea of, I'm going to build a structure next to my house. I'm going to put all my mounts in one place, trophy room, and I'm going to use it to close deals at work. I'm going to use it for friends and family, my wife's birthday party next week.
You use it for joy.
This is my happy place. I could just sit near by myself, and I haven't given up drinking yet. But
don't have to.
I would. I probably should, but I
you don't.
But
have
I could sit in here and.
In Wisconsin, that wouldn't be an option to have some beers, I'll tell you.
Right.
One of the things we talked about even last night, we hunt this black buck last night, right? We get the black buck. I'm not even kidding you. First of all, you were telling me about the organic nature. I mean, they're out there eating organic grasses, organic grains, and you're going to eat. We put this on the table. You know, I talk about the fact that this show is actually a cooking show at the end of the day. And what I did, I took that black buck. Now we're here right after Thanksgiving. So I'm thinking to myself, what are some things in Thanksgiving meals that make good, make a good dinner? And I've thought of rouladen, which is a German dish where it's got a pickle and German stuffing inside, and then it's sauteed or roasted, and then you put a gravy on top. Well, we had leftover gravy, we had leftover stuffing, and everybody who's got a decent sense of culinary arts has got pickles, right? So we took that black buck and pounded it out into flat pieces, as flat tenderized pieces as we could. We rolled a pickle, we rolled some leftover stuffing in it, and then we sauteed it in olive oil and covered it with leftover gravy, and essentially had black buck rouladen last night, which was, in my opinion, kind of off the charts, delicious, quick, and easy. You're going to be able to see that recipe on the Provider Life Instagram, so check that out. It turned out absolutely awesome. I mean, what did you think of that? We literally were eating black buck rouladen within 2 hours of that, you know, of harvesting that black buck in the field.
I thought it was great. I mean, it was, I was excited for you guys to come hunt here. I also have known Jerry for a while, and has opened some doors for me. So to host you guys and, you know, have a successful hunt. And then, you know, we did clean it ourselves, so we can claim that. You know, we skinned it and quartered it up.
Well, I kind of assisted a little bit, and you didn't think you were that great at it, but by the end of the day, we had that sucker done in less than an hour and caped out.
It was pretty quick, and so it was fun to, you know, those back straps never hit the fridge, never hit the freezer, and to use leftovers in the fridge from the day before, my wife's family, was pretty cool, and then and it tasted good. So I thought it was fun, and it was special that my wife and kids got to see it, and my wife's family was, you know, muting the TV while we record, and they were able to see that you don't need a test kitchen in New York City to put together a hunting show. So I thought it was very fun, and it's it wasn't gamey. I mean, it was
delicious. Neat.
But that's what you get out here with Eric. I call him Doc. You know, it's year-round protein. Plenty of green, and it's I mean, I was impressed that you whipped that up that quick, and I would definitely be trying that again.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we're out here at we hunted, Jerry Valdez and I hunted Squaw Mountain Ranch in Jacksboro, Texas. And for anybody out there who's looking for something, let's say you've never hunted before, I brought my wife, Rebecca, and my daughters, Ella Rose and Violet, with me. And they were kind of leery because they're thinking hunting camp. That's not really their thing. It is so beautiful, and it is so kind of foothill mountains with ponds and rivers and the species of animals you're going to see. If you want or are looking for kind of that first hunting experience or that extremely experienced hunting experience. We hunted Awdad, never got one, never saw one that we were able to pursue that was, you know, of higher quality that we were looking for. And that's okay. Bring your family. I mean, check it out. Check out Squaw Mountain Ranch. You're going to, if you get the opportunity and you get to meet Zach, you're going to have such a blast. My wife and kids came out. Jerry Valdez brought his daughter Mia along and his wife Heather, and we had the time of our lives on Thanksgiving Day checking out the animals. It's been beautiful weather. I would highly recommend, if you are leery or have never tried hunting before, this is an environment where you can go and have everything kind of helped and taken care of for you. It was just phenomenal. I can't express. You guys know how excited I get when I get out there and I get to hunt and harvest something. And last night, you know, this black buck started out 700 yards away, was making his way closer and closer and closer. And I didn't want to take the shot until I knew I had a safe, ethical shot and want to put the animal down as quickly as possible. But I was shaking after it. Because that excitement and actually the grandiose nature of taking a life is incredibly important, isn't it, Zach? And when you realize that, and you're not just going to buy your meat at a grocery store, you realize the grandiose nature of taking a life to put it on the table.
Right, I would agree. I mean, I definitely take offense to people that harvest stuff that don't eat it. I think you shouldn't waste, my garage freezer full of wild game. We eat it year round. I'll get it processed into, the ground is practical, and then there's several places in DFW. Probably the two most notable, Cinnamon Creek, which is a gentleman, Joe Masacchio, a good friend of mine, and Kubi's in Dallas. Both of them, meatballs, tamales, hunter sticks. Pre-made hamburgers with cheese. I mean, they make the variety of specialty products. So you can, you're no longer picking up five boxes of just ground, whatever you've harvested. It's a primo, sausage.
I've got new ideas. I'm going to try tamales myself with a little watusi maybe or some black buck that I take back.
The day after Thanksgiving, when you're kind of over the big meals and cooking and the prep and the cleanup. We thawed out some red stag tamales from Cinnamon Creek and little salsa and sour cream. It was done in about 5 minutes and paper plates, the whole nine yards, and tossed it all. So I'm a fan of getting the different varieties made, and that way you can only eat so much, jalapeno cheese sausage. But I try to get a big variety, and then whether it's appetizers or main course or ground, any animal with, I usually add 10% beef fat just because it's so lean and healthy.
I add beef fat too, because then you don't have to cook it all the way through and dry it out.
But yeah, it gets dry, and that's the downside to wild game. But if I'll add 10% beef fat, and then you're making tacos, lasagna, lettuce wraps, burgers, anything you want out of ground beef, and you're really never hitting the grocery store. It's all grass-fed, year-round protein, organic. The $25, $30 a pound stuff at the fancy grocery store. And you harvested the story that's going through your head when you're cooking it. You serve it to people that don't hunt. These are zebra burgers, and half of them don't eat it. But the dude that eat it love it, and you're the guy that serves zebra burgers. I mean, there's a lot of residual benefits to, the idea behind this room was, If you're a hunter, you remember every shot, every animal, every set of horns, who you were with, where you were, what you did afterwards,
how you ate it,
everything, and then you get the mount back a year later, and that's your trigger to, I'll remember the story and where people were, and it's just a conversation piece.
I tell people
and it opens
that
doors, especially in the hunting community, when you, it's like my friendship with Eric. I mean, he and I have now traveled all over the place on these, some of these free range challenging hunts. Like, we just got back from Alaska on a black and a brown double bear hunt. I got neither. I hunted 9 days in a boat in the freezing cold in Alaska. Never got one. I mean, hopped in and out of the water, stalked. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a great time. He got a big brown bear only, But, you know, we had been planning that hunt for 5 years because it got pushed with COVID. And I came back empty-handed, but it leaves you wanting to go back. But
And it increases your fortitude.
It does. And it's a controversial topic, but high fence versus low fence. And I really enjoy the hunts that are physically challenging, and the risk of coming back empty-handed is high. And you've saved your money, you've paid on them for 3 or 4 years, anticipation's built. You go somewhere that you've never been before. The experience is as valuable as if you're successful in what you're hunting. But I mean, I'm in Alaska in a John boat, glassed over water, bald eagles flying, snow capped mountains. I mean,
it's incredible.
It was surreal to be up there staying on a boat but also on a boat with a chef. queen size bed, my own bedroom.
Oh, geez.
So I mean, I like to call them gentleman's hunt. I mean, you're in a
glamping.
Place,
yeah, you're glamping
much,
on a boat.
Much. But you get going back to what I was saying, you get the mount, then you get the meat, and then you can get the back eye, and you can make pillows or give it to one of your friends to drape over a couch. Or, I mean, there's just, you know, the fun with the hunt continues on. And if you are fortunate enough to get something you can mount on the wall, you know, when you see it, it triggers the memories. When people come over, it opens doors, and you just start talking, and you find out somebody's into it, and then they run a business that they have a need or they have an opportunity, and then there, you know, you guys are go from deer hunting to doing business or maybe some social networking, you know, friends, family, events.
It's a fantastic way to expand your network. Right. And one of the things, you know, you started when you were 30. I started when I was 38. That means we have spent the majority of our lives not hunting. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I would both agree that that is something that changes your life in such an unbelievably positive way. But don't be afraid to start later. It does not mean that you're not going to be good at it or able to do it. Hunting is something that every skill set can do, every skill level. We have folks with diverse abilities we take out hunting. And Lachlan, come here a second. I'm going to tell you what, guys. Lachlan is 6 years old. And not only is he out there.
HagDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Unbelievably positive way, but don't be afraid to start later. It does not mean that you're not going to be good at it or able to do it. Hunting is something that every skill set can do, every skill level. We have folks with diverse abilities we take out hunting. And Lachlan, come here a second. I'm going to tell you what, guys. Lachlan is 6 years old, and not only is he out there explaining to us how to take the shot, where the shot should be, seeing the animals before we are, what is it, Lachlan, that you love about hunting? Now, mind you, guys, this is a six-year-old boy who's already got his mind set in the right way to get out there, to take what you harvest, to make food out of it, and to enjoy the entire experience. And he's starting to have these experiences at 6 years old. What do you love about hunting?
I love about hunting is because, like, you can get big stuff, and, like, once you shoot it, and, like, you can get the mount and stuff and that, and the meat's really good, and so... And you can make, like, a rug or something like that. So that's what I love about hunting.
That's a six-year-old kid who understands the utilization of everything about the animal that you harvest. And that is so precisely what we're talking about. You know, we've got anti-hunters out there. Then they'll drive to McDonald's and they'll eat a hamburger. The animals we're hunting are living a free life their whole lives. Until they're harvested, until the day they're harvested. The meat you're eating at McDonald's or in a grocery store, that is meat that is born in a encased environment to be killed, to be fed to folks. So those people who have the responsibility and the ethics to go out there and harvest their own game understand the gravity of that, which is so huge. And you know, when you've got a six-year-old boy who literally understands that without being prompted, didn't even know we were going to talk to Lachlan today, but it shows you the value there is in appreciating the harvest of your own game, the foraging of your own mushrooms, asparagus, you name it, from the woods to take to the table. Zach, appreciate you so much having us down here in Texas. What a phenomenal time we had. What a great place you've got here. And if you are out there and you want that experience, you know, don't be afraid to contact us. Look on the Raised in Wisco Facebook page. I'm going to show you pictures of Zach's place and some of the trophies he's been able to amass through the years. It's really cool to check out. So check out the Raised in Wisco Facebook page. We're going to have it attached to the Raised in Wisco website. Check out the show. Listen. Also, start wherever you want. If you want to start rabbit hunting, and don't be afraid to contact Danielle and me, we will get you started. We're literally in this to win it and to get folks into the outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin and these United States. Thanks so much, Zach. I really appreciate it. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco on 540 AM.
That was Zach Fusilier and his son Lachlan. Danielle, Aww. Did that just sound awesome? And that is that kid like bright or what?
That kid is definitely what got me. Him saying that you can see the mount or a rug. Yeah. My first thought was, yep, that's exactly it. And at his age, I knew nothing about it.
And eat it. And speaking of eating
it,
we've got Dan Durbin who's coming on from the Ice Fishing Expo. He's with us. But right before we go to Dan, I'm telling you to prep for this, Anya, because Anya dropped a bomb on us that she's got 10 pounds of venison in her freezer. So that's going to be a topic on a later show. So don't forget about that. Dan is joining us. Dan, the man, everything about fishing. Tell us about the Ice Fishing Expo, Dan.
Well, thanks for putting me on after that dynamo kid. You know, I'm not sure compared to that little fella.
Right.
No, but thank you. Yeah, man, it's I've been talking to you guys both a little bit about it. And December 8th through the 10th at the Oshkosh Sunnyview Expo. I know you're both familiar with that from the Waterfowl Expo that we help run. And I think we got some pretty amazing things coming up. When you look over at Minnesota, and they're running 4 to 5 different ice expos. We've got nothing over here. We're way behind in technology, the techniques they're using, some of the techniques they deploy, and that's why we had a lot of demand from our current roster list of vendors at our spring show in Madison, we're really excited about it, and it's absolutely packed. We sold out, and we have a waiting list to get in.
That's awesome. One of the most exciting things to me about ice fishing is gadgetry, and you are going to have the gadgets there. The gadgets will be there, the automatic, paging system when tip-ups go up and stuff like that. I mean, there's all sorts of that kind of stuff, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was looking online, and this isn't only just for adults. They actually have a seminar for the children on Saturday from 11 o'clock to 12, where they also get a free ice rod and reel.
Whoa.
So it's like ice fishing 101 with kids.
And you walk away with something that you can use.
Oh, yes. I'm looking on Facebook and online right now looking at it because I wish I could go to it. It looks so insightful and so wonderful. I need new things.
Yeah, but you're going to be in the Virgin Islands.
I'm going to be in the Virgin Islands.
Fishing something.
For marlin.
Marlin.
Oh,
that's right.
Well, I might trade with you there too.
So what else can people expect?
No, I mean, the kids thing, there's a whole ice junkies group with, not just the trout pond, but we've got an ice shack setup game where they get timed and win prizes. We got the bingo cards. Every kid, the first 250 each day is going to get a prize package worth almost $10 with an Acme titanium jig.
Wow.
Adults, the first 200 each day, will get a 2-pack of HT Mimosca ice jigs. I think the key thing to think about is like you don't have to be a diehard ice angler to come. If you are, we've got the content that's going to make you a better ice angler. But if you're just starting, we've got like 15 seminars that are going to get you going, get you fired up. And it's affordable, free parking, $10 a throw to get in. Kids 12 and under are free. We're up to 5 different food trucks.
Ooh,
Joel, if you want to make
great.
Up a
food
goose,
truck.
Like a, maybe a, a goose burrito truck or something.
Yeah. One of these years, I should do that for real, just to see how it would sell.
A game truck.
One of the cool things, too, about ice fishing in the modern era is you don't have to be freezing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know a lot about it. You don't have to haul around these 300-pound ice augers anymore. The technology has really improved ice fishing. You can go out on your average Saturday or Sunday or during the week, ice fish for a couple hours without having to cart 8 million pounds of stuff out there. It really has become streamlined. Yeah. So if it's something you're thinking about getting into, you really should give it a try. Danielle, you'll be ice fishing this winter.
Oh, I would absolutely be ice fishing. Oh, yes. I am definitely looking forward to it. And I want to go back to this expo. This person, Adam Walton, has the great pike in shallow water, a giant pike in shallow water.
Oh, that's
I've been
exciting.
Wanting to pull a huge pike through the hole. A 10-inch hole, just pull that bugger right out.
And it's
I'm
going to
miss how I'm going
to
miss
sure
how to do
to get
that.
To the ice fishing expo. We're out of
Thanks,
time.
Dan.
We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.